sit.
Good afternoon. Welcome everyone, and thank you for coming to the public meeting. At this meeting, we will hear from registered speakers on two matters. The first one is 37 to 39 Broughton Street, Camden, and the second one is 12 Digitaria Drive, Gletswood Hills. My name is Pamela Soon, and I'll be chairing the meeting today. The other panel members are Sue Francis, our expert member, and Dominic Pisano, a community member. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet and pay our respects to their elders past and present. I would also like to extend that respect to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people here today. Declaration of interest. Panel members, do you have any interest to declare?
Sue Francis, no conflict.
Dominic Pisano, no conflict.
Pamela Soon, no conflict. So the panel doesn't have any conflict to declare. A couple of housekeeping matters. This meeting is being audio recorded by council staff and it will be placed on council's website. No other recording is permitted without our prior approval. Could you please put your mobile phone on silent? Each speaker other than the applicant and their representatives has 4 minutes. The applicant and their representatives have in total 15 minutes. Olivia from council will be monitoring the time. After each speaker, should any panel members have any questions, we will then ask you those questions. After all the speakers have finished, I will close the meeting and then the panel will then decide on the two applications. Minutes on the panel's decision will be posted on council's website by Friday. As we have quite a few registered speakers, let's get started. Apologies if I mispronounce your name, I will try to get it right, but if I do get it wrong, I do apologize. Let's get started. The first speaker we will hear from is Stephen Wyatt. Down there, Stephen.
Where I did for the tranquility. The radiology practice next door was very quiet. The design could not be worse for me. If you inverted the design and I was forced to look at an office, that would be preferable to elevating the outdoor play area to the first floor where my unit is and providing little or no visual or acoustic shielding. As the owner and occupier of Unit 4, 1 to 7 Barson Street, I'm the closest neighbour and will be the most affected by the design. My unit has 4 windows only, 2 facing east, aiming directly at your proposed outdoor play area, and 2 windows facing south to the Barson Street, where no doubt it will be like a taxi rank, as parents decide not to negotiate your Austin Powers like crazy car park, where multiple manoeuvres will need to make good to get a park. I have a front and rear balcony. Nothing has been done to screen me from seeing children and hearing children from my balconies, which is against the 2017 New South Wales Childcare Planning Guideline, as stated in my submission. When I wake in the morning and I'm in my underwear, when I open my blinds, I'll be looking directly at children playing and they will be looking directly into my unit windows. Even the proposed sand pit is directly under my windows. Surely that could be moved to where it is not affecting any neighbours. The block in question has no street parking on either side of Broughton Street. They have no street parking on either side of Barson Street. You say you will have 9 staff to look after 60 children. Will there be cleaners, clerical staff, admin staff and food handlers? If so, if they all drive to work independently, where will they park? Because the deck is elevated and no fencing will attenuate the noise going to my unit, this is the worst possible design. If you want good relationships with your neighbours, if you can imagine being trapped in an aeroplane with other people screaming kids, that will be my unit every time some kid has a fall. The deck area and other play areas do not meet the national regulation of 7 metres squared unencumbered space per child. The outdoor play area is symptomatic of a centre beyond the capability of the site. Broughton Street already has 6 large childcare centres along its length. Camden is an established suburb with more older people than young families. 7 awkward car parks is not enough for 60 children. When my children attended childcare, the place that had a semicircular driveway out the front so that if little Johnny or Mary forgot their drink or their jumper, people could enlist, could just drop things off. How will that work for your design when parents will be forced to negotiate confusing car park without easily fitting car park spots, and they will try and park out the front of my unit? All of this design of yours has an impost and a cost to me. All you have to do is satisfy council to say, put a tree here and a screen there. Children are noisy, and I work various shifts in a public hospital. You have placed the sight and noise of the children right at my windows and balconies, and this is wrong, and you have done that. Your design is flawed and wrong and needs more work. Very little cost to you, very high impact on me. I wonder how you would feel if I had the resource to do this to the next door to where you live. I might only be a midwife and bring new lives into the world, but I know that if this plan is proposed, then it is a travesty. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Stephen. Panel members, any questions for Stephen? No. Thank you, Stephen. The next, we will hear from Joe O'Brien.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today on behalf of Camden Historical Society. Our members have decades of experience researching and sharing Camden's history, and we are passionate about Camden and its history and heritage. In 2006, Camden Council designated the Camden Heritage Conservation Area to preserve the sense of place and scale and the collective history of the buildings and places within it. Not just the individually listed heritage buildings, but also its evolving history and its aesthetic as a country town. The property at 3737A Broughton Street is a 1920s interwar cottage within the Heritage Conservation Area. It is in a prominent location on the corner of one of the main entry roads into Camden, and it is a well-known local landmark. It has a known history associated with the local family, the Cliftons, and its use during World War II. It contributes to a line of cottages, many of which have been adaptively reused. Given the number of submissions, it is clearly of importance to the community. The building is contributory towards the Heritage Conservation Area and Heritage of Camden, and it is clearly not a neutral item. Previous adaptive reuse has preserved original features, and it would be possible to adaptively reuse the existing cottage, remove unsympathetic additions, and restore the building. There does not seem to have been a full consideration of the many extant heritage features, which include significant amounts of original fabric. We disagree that many of the original features have been lost. They are clearly visible, especially the front and side facades and the veranda. There are clearly multiple timber windows on the side and rear. Other original period features are likely to be intact under modern floors and behind walls, ceilings, and modern fittings. Having been inside this building several times when it was a medical practice, I can personally attest that the interior of the building still retains much of its original cottage layout. It is of concern that heritage reports appear to be based on others' reports instead of visiting the property. The earlier report that assesses the cottage's contribution as neutral does not appear to be publicly available. There is no evidence that adaptive reuse of this building has been considered at all. The cottage can be reused, and this must be considered as a first option. There is no clear argument for demolition, and the fact that they don't wish to restore the building is not an acceptable argument for demolition. The salvage plan does not compensate for the unnecessary loss of the heritage inherent in keeping the building intact. It appears all that is to remain of this significant piece of Camden's history is a token picket fence. The proposed replacement building is of a modern style that does not complement the existing cottages and would detract from the heritage conservation area. It is much larger with modern features and materials and includes a substantial lower story which extends underground. The balance between building size and rear yard would be considerably altered and it would no longer be of cottage scale. The statement of its significance for the Camden Heritage Conservation Area clearly indicates the importance of the intact building stock from this era. The extent of relative, and I'm quoting, the extent of relatively intact remnant building stock from circa 1841 to the mid-20th century, together with the important communal open spaces of the showground and MacArthur Park, and the visually important exotic and native plantings which soften the built forms, contribute in a major way to the value character of the town. Each approval of demolition of a cottage further degrades the integrity of the heritage conservation area and leads to more requests from developers for further demolition. Piece by piece, the Camden Heritage Conservation Area is being lost. The community repeatedly tell us how much they value the Heritage Conservation Area of Camden and the town's character. We trust that this proposal will be rejected and the restoration and adaptive reuse of the building will be fully considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Jo. Any questions for Jo?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Fletcher Joss.
Good afternoon. My name is Fletcher Joss and I live in Camden South. Thank you for letting me speak to you. I want to bring up a concern about the proposed demolition. The Camden Development Control Plan has a section titled Demolition in Heritage, in the General Heritage Provision section. This section applies to heritage places, which is defined as a collective term used for heritage items, heritage conservation areas, culturally significant built environment, landscapes and architectural sites. This property is part of a heritage conservation area. Therefore, the demolition is a part of a heritage place. Demolition section of the DCP states demolition can only be considered as a last resort. There is a where his is submitted covering the following. Documentation that all alternatives for retention have been investigated and ruled out can be satisfied and demonstrated the building does not satisfy the criteria for listing established for the New South Wales Heritage Branch has been sufficiently documented and justified that the structure is considered incapable of repair. Parts A and C are missing. Further, C falls into the category which requires a panel to form an opinion, something case law has explored rather fully and requires you to address formally. Please note that DCP does not refer to the actual perceived value of the heritage place. This means the applicant's arguments about the significance do not remove the requirements that his contains both A and C. The core question about the development is, will the demolition of this building change the fabric of the Camden Town Heritage Conservation Area? There's an old story about an axe. It asks how often you can change an axe head or the handle and still have the same axe. It is known as the ship of Theseus's paradox. There is no general answer, only answers within a specific context with specific terms of reference. The absence of A and C is not irrelevant or trivial. However, their absence means you lack the context and terms of reference to decide. Remember, this place was once a major radiology business. It means that many people, me included, spent much time waiting in this building. We've all seen shows like The Block, Backyard Blitz and Grand Designs. We know anything can be done with sufficient funds and imagination. We know the bones of this building are intact and could be restored. If you're in doubt, look at the current photograph and the 1935 photograph. All the original fabric is still present, additions are easily identified, and using popular television shows as a reference, easily removed. Other places take these matters very seriously. There's a case law that suggests to me that the restoration must be done unless it's unrecognisable. There's a case Nader versus Strathfield Council. Non-compliance with the DCP inevitably leads to fundamental issues of fairness. A similar nearby development, 1820 Broughton Street, went to great lengths and expense to preserve the streetscape. Further, I note that the recommended conditions, consent conditions, submit reference to point 2 of the development demolition permit for the DCP, it actually requires photographic documentation. That's not in any of the consent conditions. Therefore, this application, approving this is basically going to give this applicant an unfair advantage compared to other places in the area. What I'm asking is that the approval can only be given if the HIS is complete and there's public assessment of alternatives. In the lack of that information, really, I ask you to just apply the DCP, ask for the information and then evaluate it. It's just missing, and given the absence, I don't see how you can approve it. It doesn't matter. Without that information, the DCP doesn't permit approval of this place. That's all I've got to say. Thank you very much for listening. Do you want this or not? I can leave it.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. Formally, there are usually three categories of building in a sensitive heritage area like this: contributory, neutral, or uncharacteristic. There is necessary flexibility here, but the final arbiter is not a developer, but the community. This building is clearly contributory. We contend that the contribution of the cottage to the heritage significance of the HCA has not been accurately assessed by the DA applicant or within the agenda report. We emphasise two points, both of which, amongst other issues, are covered in detail in the submission of this DA, which is from Crag. Firstly, the New South Wales Heritage Manual on Assessing Heritage Significance very clearly includes an investigation into what the community values. The heritage value and contribution of the interwar dwelling to local identity and its importance to the people of Camden has not been examined or even mentioned. This is despite a rich research culture in Camden, which would yield detail about the historical and cultural significance of the site post, the subdivision of this part of Camden from Camden Park Estate in 1898. This is a breach of faith with the community and one that the people of Camden will not forgive. Secondly, the LEC planning principle on assessing contributions of non-listed items and its demolition within the HCA was incorrectly addressed. Under the principle, the starting point in determining whether an item is contributory is the HCA listing. In other words, if it is contributory under its listing, it is not subject to a different assessment, regardless of any other assessments by any other expert. In Camden's case, built forms circa 1841 to mid-20th century period are defined in the listing as important and contributory. Therefore, under the principle of the interwar dwelling is unquestionably contributory. The principle is also that demolition of an item which contributes to a conservation area according to its listing will detrimentally impact heritage significance. This is so even if its replacement building fits because the original heritage element has been removed. Only contributory items that are structurally unsound can be considered for demolition. Much of the argument for demolition rests on changes to the original bungalow. These can be restored. Under the Burra Charter and Camden's DCP, it could again be relatively reused for commercial purposes. Clearly, the replacement building would be classified in the HCA terms as uncharacteristic, i.e. less than neutral value. Furthermore, current plans indicate a third story, clearly in contradiction to the DCP and obviously uncharacteristic, intrusive even. It is logically impossible to argue that demolition and a new build would not detract from the town's significant qualities as referenced in the HCA listing. Consequently, we ask you to reject this DA. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Any questions, panel?
No, thank you.
No. Done. Thank you. Our next speaker is Pamela Hartley.
Hello. My name's Pamela Hartley. I'm a 71-year-old widow who built my new home in 12 Barston Street. It resides beside Rose Cottage and the Heritage Home on the corner, which is number 10, old Dick Nixon's old home. My land was actually classed as heritage, just the land alone. I had to comply by 14 heritage clauses to build that home, retaining to high-pitch roofs, driveways on the left side, no garage was to be seen. And here, just when you think that you're living in a nice area with heritage-minded people around, you find there's an invasion of childcare centres. I've one complaint today from my hairdresser, who is Trish Hair Cottage, who lives next door at number 35. She wasn't given a capability of coming here today to talk because it was conducted at 2 o'clock. Kevin and Elaine Shaw, who own the heritage home next door to me, they weren't either because they couldn't make it at 2 o'clock. They would come if it was in the evening. A lady up the street who lives right opposite this proposed dwelling, she has young children. She couldn't come here today. She lives behind gated fences anyway because of her small children, and she's going to be living right opposite where this driveway is. Apart from the loss of her heritage, I just am thinking of the noise that's going to be. There is a childcare centre in being built at present at number 31 Broughton Street. It's been going on now for about three or four years. So if they've got 60 children there, at least, because it's a large property, and if there's 60 children on this corner, the traffic, I cannot just believe that there's this underground car space there with eight places for parents to go. If you came down Broughton Street to turn left into Barston Street, you would have to do an immediate right to get into this underground car park. There is absolutely no parking on the edge of Barston Street there. There is no parking out the front of Broughton Street, out the side, nor all the way down. There's another childcare centre I walked past it this morning in Broughton Street, thinking of what the noise was like. I had to go up the street. And I could hear children shouting down the back, little tiny toddlers screaming in the front because they'd fallen over. Now, the ridiculous plan of this, I read, was that that staff are going to be told to take the child inside if there's a child crying. Well, if you've got two people looking after 30 children outside, how are you going to do that? I'm going to run out of time here, but the long hours that are involved here for people like myself, Barston Street is going to be full of cars. When the radiology was there, Little Street was taken up with all the staff and down Barston Street. There's long hours, 7 a.m. till 6:30 p.m., 51 weeks of the year. And I say repeat that to yourself, 7 a.m. till 6:30 p.m., 51 weeks of the year. When that Ampol garage came back into play at the bottom after the floods, the traffic increased. We've just got this onslaught of children. Make it into an office or a medical practice or something, but the idea of having 60 children being dropped off by excited parents wanting to catch up with their other compatriots and not leave when they have to. I find absolutely dreadful. Yeah. Thank you very much anyway. Right.
Sorry, Pamela, I was just going to say, do you live next door to, I know, Hare Cottage, because I've seen Hare Cottage next to the proposed site, or?
No, I live at, Rose, I live in 12 Barston Street, which is just around the corner. There's Little Street, Thames on the corner. Rose Cottage, I live next to her, yeah. Trisha's Hare Cottage she also, I'm speaking on her behalf too today, because she had no... Her loss of amenity as a hairdressing salon is going to be dreadful too. Yeah.
Thanks for
Thank
that.
You.
Thank you, Pamela.
Yes, I'm not Sue Cross, I'm David Nethercote. Sue is unfortunately taken ill and unable to present, but she has given permission for me to speak on her behalf. So, thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. People of Camden highly value the unique character of the MacArthur town of Camden and expect that its heritage and sense of place will be conserved. In fact, this is written into council policy and the heritage conservation area is legislated. To me and to many others, it is a no-brainer that demolishing fabric of the HCA is against the principle of conservation, and piecemeal demolition will eventually result in complete destruction of this culturally significant and historic area. Demolition is in fact contrary to the HCA listing because interwar dwellings are defined in the listing as contributory. According to Camden's DCP, a character element of the HCA is, and I quote, Federation cottages and interwar bungalows radiating out from the town centre with adaptive reuse of these in Broughton Street. Despite it being defined as contributory under the HCA and DCP, the DA goes out of its way to argue that the cottage only makes a neutral contribution. There is no evidence that this interwar bungalow is non-contributory or neutral. The DA relies on the changes that have been made in adaptively reusing the dwelling as a business. No doubt these changes should never have been permitted, but they do not change the cultural significance of the cottage, its place in Camden's historic development, and its appropriate place in the streetscape and main gateway into the town. Much more difficult restorations are possible. It is a completely reasonable expectation that the dwelling be restored and adaptively reused appropriately. This DA disrespects the heritage value and contribution of the cottage to local identity and its importance to the people of Camden. It is not up to developers and their paid consultants to argue this way. The arguments also avoid the fact that the replacement building will certainly not enhance or be contributory to the HCA. Far from being neutral, it will be uncharacteristic of the streetscape and the HCA. The new building would add nothing to Camden's unique story and history. Even if this dwelling did make a neutral contribution, it is illogical for the DA and the agenda report to argue that replacement with an uncharacteristic new build of modern construction materials is anything less than destructive of the heritage significance of the HCA. It is not in the public interest to destroy the highly valued special character of Camden and ultimately the point of difference that Camden businesses rely on. There would be many other commercial opportunities for the owners if a faithful restoration was undertaken. If the developer can only come up with demolition and childcare, they should sell and invest outside the HCA. Please save this cottage and refuse this DA. Thank you very much.
The applicant and their team, Colin.
Well, dear panel members and everyone, good afternoon. First, I want to say, should I start? Okay, I want to say, when we look at this design, I'm an architect. When we look at this design, we look more on the facts, not simply rely on assumptions and biases. And I'll talk about design, and also we have our expert team to give comments on all aspects which might concern you in terms of acoustic, traffic, or even landscape. As architects, we understand to design childcare center within the heritage conservation area can be a challenging task. That's why we have consulted our experts before we do the design, and also having taken into consideration council's comments after the pre-DA meeting. In the pre-DA meeting, it is suggested that use of face brick masonry finish is encouraged to maintain the dominant characteristics of the HCA. The overall presentation of the new building should be natural brown face brick-like finish in order to blend in as the contemporary infill building of neutral contributory value to HCA. We believe we have embraced the contemporary approach while at the same time respecting the heritage context. We use modern construction methods and materials while also referencing and complementing the existing building. With the use of brown face brick, pitch roof, and a recessed entry with gable, we believe the proposed childcare center creates a harmonious relationship with the surroundings. The facade of the proposed childcare center view from Boston Street is a single-story proportion, and it does not dominate surrounding buildings. And we understand to demolish the existing building can be a challenging task, but even within the conservation area, not every single building contributes to the historical value. The subject site was classified as being neutral in value. That's why we've applied for demolition of the existing, and at the same time, we have proposed a contemporary building, which respecting its original design and character to a certain extent, to make it functional and relevant for future needs, and make it blend into the Camden HCA fabric. And we believe that's a merit of conservation and not being conservative and reject any changes. And as commented in the independent heritage consultant advice, the use of material, scale, and design of the new building reflect the establishment traditional character of the immediate area and the extended Camden Town Center HCA. I'll talk about a little bit about trees and shrubs. Based on our calculation, the existing building and its parking has over 750 square meter concrete surface. Well, the proposed building with basement parking has only 770 square meter hard surface. The removal of the existing concrete surface will be replaced with additional trees, shrubs, and landscape. It is obviously an improvement in landscape area.
Sorry, Colin, could I? Yes. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
I think the panel may have some questions. Would it be more, if I'm just conscious that you have 15 minutes now, 11 and a half. Would it be helpful if we were to ask your team if we have any questions instead? Okay.
Yes. You want me to finish or you want to ask now? And we can have different experts to answer your question.
I'm just not sure how long it's going to. I just don't want to eat up your time.
Okay. So you can ask. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colin.
Well,
I think it might be best if we pose our questions to the particular experts, because you have them here, rather than you as the architect.
Yeah.
Because there may well be some questions.
Yeah, because I'm more on design side.
Exactly. Which is, I think, why we wanted to save some time to ask
the
experts any particular questions. I just wanted to clarify, if that's okay with you, Chair. We've got your Adrian Zappia. Perhaps you could pop forward and perhaps you sit on the other chair, that would be great. I just wanted to clarify some of the acoustic queries which have been raised by some of the residents. I think there might be some misreading of plans, and of course they may not have read your acoustic report, because from my reading of the plans, there's certainly screening on the upper, acoustic screening on the upper play deck. Could you please, Adrian, explain what's on the upper deck and the acoustic qualities of that, and then the acoustic qualities of the boundary proposed fence, which is behind the proposed landscape strip?
Yep. Okay. To put it in simple terms, we're utilising a really solid, well, a solid and non-perforated screen. Sorry. Apologies. In simple terms, we're utilising a solid, non-perforated barrier across the entirety of the plant deck and the lower play area behind the landscaping in order to achieve compliance with the appropriate or the relevant standards. In saying that, we have nominated a minimum height of 1.8 metres for both screens, and we believe that this is a sufficient level of screening to screen noise from the outdoor play when it's in operation to the adjacent closest receivers.
Okay, I might have a little bit more knowledge than some of the community here in terms of your terms, receivers and causes of noise.
Yep.
So what is the what is the noise generated, the DBA, and what is the standard you're allowed? Let's say from the upper deck. That might be.
Are we looking at the noise at the neighbours? Oh, okay. So, from our report, we're achieving about 50 DBA at worst. That is at the closest receiver, being the one along Broughton Street, north of the site, I think.
Mr. White's property?
Yes. Now, the criteria that's appropriate for childcare noise emissions is the background noise level plus 10. Inclusive to that, we've utilised a maximum outdoor play time during the day. So it's up to 4 hours per day. So it would be either two hours in the morning or 2 hours in the afternoon at a maximum in order to achieve compliance with that. That would be the worst. And then from there, it drops to 47, I think, which is the set of units along Barsden Street. And then 43, which is across Barsden Street.
And the standard is?
The standard we've utilised is the AAAC guideline.
No, what is the number? What's the DBA? Is it 53?
50 DBA is the criteria.
Is the criteria, and you satisfy 50, and then you go lower
further away as the receiver progresses.
So the worst case scenario, you satisfy the 50 DBA, and the worst case scenario is the most immediate receiver, which is the property Mr. White, the first speaker. Okay. Yeah. And the material of the non-perforated holes
The material we did not specify.
Okay.
We're leaving that up to, I guess, the applicant in determining what is suitable in terms of design, in terms of cost, and so on and so forth. The height and the fact that it needs to be solid and non-perforated is the critical part.
So, Captain Lap fence,
sheet metal perspex,
okay.
Modular walls, etc.
Thank you.
That would be on that rear wall that we spoke about, at the back wall where those residents are.
And the elevator.
And how high is that back?
They're both
1.8. Yeah, 1.8 metres high above ground floor elevation.
Sorry, Chair, I'll just also point out there's a condition requiring the back fence to be increased to 2.1 on the southern and western boundary. So that's a condition 5, part 19.
Sorry. Sorry, just to add to that, one point you said 2.1 from the ground level of the site or the ground level of the adjoining property because it's lower?
That's along the boundary, so that's taken from the ground level of the site. Yeah.
Okay, so it will be greater effect in effect to Mr. White's property. Thank you. Thanks, Adrian. Any other questions, panel, for the applicants? Sorry, it's more of a clarification more than anything else. Have we got Stanley? Traffic? Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify something. Sorry, I heard from a couple of residents suggestion that there were 8 parking spaces, but that's not true. There's 15, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's 15 total, 8 for parents and
I just wanted
staff,
to clarify that in public because there's 15. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
Just along that Broughton, I think it's Broughton Street, that side street. So there's no parking at the moment, the entrance into the proposed childcare centre. Is that correct?
So on Barson Street or Broughton Street? Barson Street, yeah. So, we comply with the council's car parking requirement on the site, so we wouldn't be relying on the Barson Street.
Just one of the issues I heard from one of the community members was that a parent dropping, you know, forgetting something and can't get into the car park, then parks on the road and blah, 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 tries to drop something off, and I know that's not your issue, but that's one of the concerns.
Yeah, that's right. So it's essentially, if people drop off stuff, they'd have to do legal parking. So wherever that is allowed, they would be able to do that in that location.
Yeah. And going out off the driveway, so there's obviously the entrance exit.
Yep.
Okay, and if people are turning left and then left again.
Yep.
There's no issue there with that.
That's right.
Section.
Yeah. I don't believe you can park between the driveway and the Broughton Street there. Yeah. However, the road's wide enough, so even if people were parked there, you can drive around.
But I know that's one of the concerns too. You can imagine if cars coming, going in, dropping off, and then coming back out onto that main street.
I can answer that, Dominic. So if you go left out from Barson Street from the side, it's signposted no stopping, as it is along Broughton Street as well. That's correct.
And that assists with the sight lines on those turns as well, especially from Barston onto Broughton Street. There's a no stopping to the south there, so you can see a bit further and make that right turn.
Thanks.
Thanks, Stanley. I have a question for Anna. Sorry. This is just
justifying the walk.
Thank you, Anna. You would have heard from some of the registered speakers about, you know, the heritage nature of the property. It's not neutral, it's contributory. Can you just comment on that?
So our initial study was informed by the city plan study taken of the HCA in 2020, which deemed it a neutral item due to the alterations and additions to the exterior facade. A lot of those were concerned with the... I suppose it is into a cottage, but a lot of them have degraded that expression from the street. And we felt in our assessment that there are much better examples in the locality, particularly in the immediate vicinity, that had a more positive contribution to the surrounding area. And if you were to restore it, you'd be replacing most fabric that would have originally contributed, as you could see in the 1935 photograph. And we felt that was against a lot of the borough charter principles, but we understand that would be, obviously the community would want that, but with the childcare centre adaptation of a building like this, there are so many requirements to get that compliance that it just wouldn't be possible. And I think Colin did do that study in the first instance.
We visited the existing building, and we recommend to renovate the existing building to fulfill childcare needs. It's going to be impossible. That's why we decided to knock it down. But before we apply for demolition, we've consulted council. We have a pre-dear meeting discussing the feasibility to demolish the building with council first.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. No, we don't have any more questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Colin.
Can I add one little point, if I still have like 30 seconds? Because I think most of the residents say my concern about parking. I think our one section is on the traffic report. They are not experienced like 60 cars coming into the site at the same time. I mean, during the pickup drop-off period, I think there's only on the average of 7 cars entering the site. So it doesn't contribute too much to the local traffic here. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Colin. I think that's it for item one. We'll move on to item two, which is 12 Digitaria Drive, Gladswood Hills. It's Matt Cooper.
I can keep this brief for the panel, but thank you for having me here today. Really for abundant caution is why I am here today, in case there were any matters of a planning technicality or otherwise that you had, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Dominic, questions for Matt?
Just quick, Matt. I know it's a motel and function room. That's the proposed development there. And the... within the function room, what's the size of the function room?
That's going to be a good number.
Like how many does it?
Look, it is. It does take up a sizable section of the ground floor that's connected to a bar and a front of house service for the hotel itself.
Ground floor. Yep. That's all. Thank you.
I don't have any questions, Matt. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I think that's the last item. So thank you, everyone, so very much for your presentation and your time. As there is nothing further to discuss, I will now close the meeting, and the panel will then deliberate on these two applications. Thank you, and have a nice afternoon. Bye.